In Scripture, we read these words: are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, you will recognize them by their fruits. What kind of tree are you? What kind of fruit do you bear? The Apostle Paul draws a contrast in this passage that was just read in Galatians 5 between the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. Today I'm going to speak on the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit, 9 character traits that reflect Christ's character that are produced in a born-again believer by the Holy Spirit. So we're talking about character today. We're talking about the attributes of Christ being manifested in us, Christians, as the Holy Spirit works in us. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. It is patience and kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. The fruit of the Spirit, now note what it says in the text here in verses 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit is produced by the Holy Spirit. We've got to get that right. It's a supernatural work of the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer. Alistair Begg explains that the fruit of the Spirit is the character of God reflected in the lives of those who are united with Christ. The character of God cannot be produced by an outward change of habit or a system of self-improvement. The character of God reflected in believers is cultivated as God works to conform the believer to the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. As we consider the fruit of the Spirit in our lives today, I trust that the Spirit will guide us to examine our hearts, challenge our progress, spiritual progress, and encourage us to trust in the promise of God that He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of the Lord. The Puritan writer John Owen vigorously insisted that the fruit of the Spirit is the work of the Spirit and not of human origin. These godly qualities are not something we can manufacture, take pride in, or lay claim to as self-generated. Rather, they are the work of God, and their source is God alone. You know, we live in a day and age, you see the advertisements all the time for self-improvement, self-help, motivational programs to look better, feel better, eat better, exercise better, all of these things. Self-improvement. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is none of these. He supernaturally works within us. So you can't take a course on the fruit of the Spirit and after the end of the course, well, I committed myself to this course. I made every class. I did my papers. And now I have the fruit of the Spirit. It doesn't work like that. It's like taking a tomato plant and duct taping a tomato to it and say, there it is. It bore fruit. No, it doesn't. It's the internal working of the Holy Spirit. Fruit of the Spirit, character traits of Jesus Christ reflected in the lives of born-again believers. The fruit of the Spirit is produced by the Spirit, not by us. Now, we have to back up before we go forward in our study of the fruit of the Spirit. And the reason why we have to back up is, unless you have been born again by the Holy Spirit, there will never, ever be any fruit of the Spirit in you. That is critical to understand. The Holy Spirit produces the fruit. The Holy Spirit has to live within you in order for Him to work in manifesting these attributes of Christ in you. There is no fruit of the Holy Spirit in people who have not been born again, no matter how religious you are. If there is no Holy Spirit abiding in your soul, you will not produce this kind of love that we read about, this kind of joy, this kind of peace, patience, kindness. All of these things will be missing. Now, sure, there are counterfeits in the flesh. You know, everybody talks about love and music and movies and all of that kind of stuff. But what Paul's talking about is this love that is a supernatural love, a love that comes from God. We love because He first loved us. This is a love that is far different from the romantic love that we see all around us. The selfish love that the flesh desires. This is a sacrificial love, a love that will forgive enemies, a love that will lay down its life for another, a love that forgives those who have offended. It's a supernatural love. So, this first point deals with, have you been born again by the Holy Spirit? Not talking about church attendance. Not talking about how many days a week you read the Bible. Not talking about how you memorize this passage and you can recite the fruit of the Spirit. Not talking about singing songs about the fruit of the Spirit. We're talking about the Spirit of God dwelling in you. Have you been born from above? Have you been born again? In John 3:5, we read, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. If you're not born again, you're not going to heaven. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Paul talks about the works of the flesh. We've covered this in earlier verses in chapter 5. The works of the flesh. And he contrasts that with the fruit of the Spirit. If you've never been born again, you will be doing the works of the flesh. You will live to gratify your fleshly desires. And the only way that can be changed is through a supernatural work in one's heart by God, the Holy Spirit. Now think about it in very practical, common terms. I know there are people here today that have vegetable gardens. If you want to harvest lettuce, what do you plant apricot seeds, right? If you want corn on the cob, which we love, you plant radish seeds, right? Oh, don't be so ridiculous. Of course not. Figs come from figs, apples from apples. Apples and oranges, they're different. And so is the spiritual fruit of the Holy Spirit. Like produces like. Spiritual fruit comes from the Holy Spirit, not from the flesh. If you expect spiritual fruit, the Holy Spirit must be present in your soul. And if you have been born of the Holy Spirit, if you have never been born of the Holy Spirit, there will be no fruit of the Spirit in you. So we ask you, have you been born again? John 6:63, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is of no avail. To the sin-deadened soul, the Spirit breathes into that soul spiritual life. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So let's not put the cart before the horse and start talking about the fruit of the Spirit, the characteristics of Christ's personality manifested in us if we've never been born again. We have to put things in the right order. The Spirit must dwell within you. And see, this explains why so many people sitting in church who claim to be Christians do not have the fruit of the Spirit in their lives. They do not have a Christian character. They may have all the right words and speak Christianese and memorize all things and be very active. But they'll tell you, there's something missing. I don't have that same desire to want to pray. It really is hard for me to pray. And reading the Bible, you know, I start and then I stop. Because there's other things that are so important. And service, I have a full plate. I cannot be down in the church all that time. I mean, let's face it. Christianity in America is limited to Sunday morning. Sunday morning. Prayer meeting, poorly attended. Evening worship, poorly attended. Outreach, non-existent. But God bless us. There's something not right here. And what's not right is that there are many religious people who have never been born again. You must be born again. Now, today may be the first time you recognize that this is missing in your life. You may realize that you've never been born again. You're wondering, what must I do? There's something empty within me. I look for all the things of the world to give me gratification. I really would rather go swimming than go to prayer meeting. I would rather just take 3 or 4 weeks on vacation, forget about church, forget about all this other stuff, and just go out and bask in the sun and enjoy it because I deserve it. I've worked so hard. That's gratification of the flesh. People come back from vacation. I says, where'd you go to worship? Oh, we take a vacation from church too. Really? What would happen if God took a vacation from you for 2 weeks? Oh, I never thought of that. Okay, there's something missing. How do I get born again? The good news is that God the Father is ever willing to give the Holy Spirit to all who ask Him for it. Luke 11:9. And I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, note this, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? Ask Him. Ask Him for the Spirit to come into your heart. You know, to be justified by faith alone, to be saved, you need the Holy Spirit to generate saving faith in your heart. Faith that saves is not something we manufacture on our own. It's a gift from God, according to the Bible. So if you want to be saved, if you want to be justified, declared right with God, that occurs through faith in Jesus Christ. Well, where do you get that faith from? It is the Holy Spirit who causes you to be born again, regenerates you. He generates saving faith. So a person who's not born again is not justified by faith because they don't have faith. Well, they may have faith in, you know, something, faith in their retirement, faith in themselves. But what Paul is teaching in the Galatians, saving faith is a gift from the Holy Spirit. Now, let's talk about the Holy Spirit and fruit. The work of the Holy Spirit to produce in us the character of Christ, the fruit of the Spirit, is something that the Holy Spirit has been sent to do in the life of every Christian. It is God's will for us to glorify Him, not only by what we do, but by who we are. And He gives us the Holy Spirit to dwell in us so that He will produce in us those character traits so that we may glorify God. We heard earlier that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit, and every healthy tree bears good fruit. Because of the Holy Spirit dwelling within Christians, Christians will produce good fruit. Just as it is natural to expect a little baby who just stepped out, just as it is natural to expect that little baby to grow up, to mature, to become an adult. It is natural, better yet, it is supernatural from a born-again believer to mature, to grow up, and to produce good fruit because of God the Holy Spirit living within them. The Spirit is there to glorify God, and He will produce good fruit. Our likeness to Christ is definitely not something applied from without as a cosmetic transformation produced by a formula of some religious makeup department. It is a genuine likeness produced by an intimate relationship with God. Christ's own analogy of the vine and the branches upholds this. And I've added that to the top of our bulletin this morning, John 15. The branches are not merely vine-like. They are a part of the vine. Likewise, the fruit does not merely resemble grapes, but possesses their inherent structure and taste. Fruitfulness is the principal purpose for the existence of a tree. Jesus taught His disciples that fruitfulness was His purpose for them as well. He told them, "You did not choose Me, But I chose you and appointed you that you should go and what? Bear fruit. And that your fruit should remain. John 15:16. In this great teaching, Jesus called himself the true vine and his Father the vine dresser. He called the disciples branches. Verse 5 of John 15. And he told them to abide in him. Why? So that they could bear fruit. Verse 4. He warned them, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he, the Father, takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. Verse 2. Jesus cursed the fig tree because it did not bring forth fruit. And in the morning, the disciples found the tree had died. Matthew 21:18-20. Does God not have the right to expect to find fruit on his tree of life in his garden? He warned them, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, Father takes away. Thus, fruitfulness is a result of a relationship that is carefully cultivated. Jesus taught his disciples they could only be fruitful by learning to abide in Christ. Do you abide in Christ? Are you at home with the Lord? Or is it kind of awkward? I know a little bit about Jesus. I pray to him. But I'm not that really comfortable. I don't sit at his feet and meditate on him and ponder the cross. I just can't keep focused on spiritual things. There's always something that distracts me. Fruitfulness is the result of a relationship that is carefully cultivated. It is no accident that the Word calls the third person of the Godhead the Holy Spirit. Holiness, as you look at this passage that we read out of Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Hey, where's holiness? Where's compassion? Where's sincerity? These are not all the fruit of the Spirit. Holiness comes from the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ was holy. God the Father is holy. The Holy Spirit. Holiness characterizes Christ's divine nature. One of the supreme mandates of the Holy Spirit is to impart the holiness of God to us and to change us from glory to glory, giving us his divine nature and his character. As the Spirit works in each believer, he develops within us Christ's character, which is identified by the fruit of the Spirit. But I want to highlight holiness. So people can run around all they want and talk about Jesus and Jesus that and all of this stuff. Are they holy? Separate from the common? Are they different from the rest of the world? Is your lifestyle, is the way you think, is your decision making, are your relationships different than the world? Or do you think the same way? Ephesians 5:9 says, the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Romans 6:22 says, but now having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end everlasting life. Fruit of the Spirit can be seen. It's visible. Anybody ever come up to you and say, you know, there's something different about you. I just sense that. What is that? They sense the presence of the Holy Spirit in you and that your character and your personality it stands out from all those around you. Fruit can be seen. the greater manifestation of the Spirit's fruit in a person's life means they have a greater intimacy with God. They are abiding with Christ. Only when a believer is full of the Holy Spirit, continually yielding to Him, can he exhibit the full fruition of Christian virtues. When Christ is formed in the believer through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, true Christ-like character will be as natural a result as pears growing on a pear tree. The fruit of the Spirit is produced automatically when we are yielded to the Holy Spirit and are walking in obedience to Him. Now, we have studied this passage in the fifth chapter of Galatians and know that the Spirit wars against the flesh and the flesh wars against the Spirit. There's a conflict, an inner conflict in believers. The flesh wants to do fleshly things. It wants to sin. It'll put things into your mind. It will tempt you. And the Holy Spirit will frustrate that. And when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you're attempting to grow closer. You take time away from everything to go off and just be with Christ. And you have all these distractions. And you can't concentrate. What is that? That's the flesh. Do you ever notice how people cannot let their cell phones go unanswered? You'd be in a meeting and the phone goes off. Excuse me, I've got to get this. Or a text comes in. Or somebody calls during dinner. Everybody jumps up from the table to get to the phone. Why? See, we're being programmed. That's what's important. You got people sitting in church checking their emails. See, we have cameras all over. We know. Oh, the scripture's on my smartphone. Sure it is. And you're reading the lineup for today's Phillies game. There's this war that goes on between the flesh and the spirit. Or the spirit. Spirit-filled men and women can be distinguished by their fruit in the same way that a carnal person can be identified by fleshly works. If we are abiding in Christ, the fruit of the Spirit will be manifest in our lives. It cannot be hidden. So also are the works of the flesh manifested in those who are not abiding in Christ. A carnal person is one who is not governed by the indwelling Spirit of God. This egocentric, self-centered life manifests the works of the flesh, while Christ-centered life will manifest the fruit of the Spirit. And the way the flesh works is it really deceives us into thinking that if we do something, anything, in the name of Christ, well, that covers everything. So if I go to church on Easter, I'm good until Christmas. Because I went to church on Easter. And there's people that rationalize that all the time. Well, I had devotions today, so I should have a really good week. And 3 weeks later, when they pick up the devotional again, it's, well, I better start this again so I can be... And there's this stuff that goes on. It's crazy. The Holy Spirit produces fruit in us through God's Word. Okay, I'm a Christian. I'm born again. And yet I recognize that my desires are more to satisfy me, myself, and I than they are to glorify Christ. Now, how can that change? Well, the Holy Spirit uses certain things to conform us to the image of Christ. God's Word is the first. The psalmist describes the blessed man as a tree planted by the river of water that yields its fruit in its season, Psalm 1:3. He declares of this fruitful life that his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. The place we give the Word of God in our lives will determine our degree of fruitfulness. Another way the Holy Spirit works is through meditation. David doesn't say this blessed man simply reads the word. He meditates on it as well. The word Selah, found throughout the Psalms, means to meditate, to stop and think about what has been said. A word picture of Selah is the cow chewing her cud after eating to assimilate all that she has swallowed. To meditate, to chew on it. The Holy Spirit works through spiritual disciplines. Jesus said that abiding in Him was a prerequisite for bearing fruit. Therefore, we need to give ourselves to spiritual disciplines in our lives that will help cultivate this abiding relationship. These disciplines include not only giving ourselves to searching the Word of God, but also hearing the Word of God through anointed preaching, as well as spending much time in prayer and worship in the Spirit. So it's not rattling off the Lord's Prayer while I prayed. And I've seen people pray the Lord's Prayer while they're filling out their offering envelopes. Not here, but in my former church. They knew the Lord's Prayer so well, they could do other things while they were reciting it. Is that prayer? Is that talking to God? Is He pleased with that? Of course not. Spiritual disciplines involve our heart. Fourth way is through obedience. Obedience is almost obsolete in Christianity today. As soon as you talk about, you need to obey the Lord. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. That's legalism. All these do's and don'ts and these laws and all these things, that's legalism. Obedience. You have freedom. Do whatever feels good. That's catering to the flesh. Obedience brings about maturity and develops the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. And also through pruning. If we do not abide in Christ, we cannot bear fruit. And according to Jesus' teaching, such believers will be cast away. Verse 6, John 15. If a branch does not bear fruit, the requirement made of the fruitless branch is that it endures pruning. Listen again to Jesus' words. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, the Father takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes. So the primary purpose of pruning, which can be very painful, is to cut away that which is dead, that which is unproductive, so that the other branches could have the nourishment to be able to produce the fruit. So as I close, I want to ask you two questions. One, have you been born again by the Holy Spirit? If you haven't, or if you don't know, ask the Holy Father to send His Spirit into your soul and cause you to be born again. And the second question, for those who are believers, who have been born again, are you abiding in Christ? That's the only way the Spirit produces fruit in you. If you have drifted away from the Lord, entertaining the desires of the flesh, Jesus Christ invites you to His table this morning to have a meal with Him, to be reconnected, to get your focus back, to understand His grace, to understand His love. He says, come unto me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come to the table. It is how the Holy Spirit produces fruit in us as we sit and as we partake of the bread and the cup. The Holy Spirit will work in that to feed us spiritually, to strengthen us, to produce in us love and joy and peace, patience, kindness, goodness and faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. This is God's will. He wants us to be fruit producers. He gives us the Spirit to do so. And He gives us the ordinances, such as this one, of the Lord's Supper, to come and share a meal with Jesus and be renewed. Pastor Ben is going to come and lead us in a time of examination prior to our observance of the Lord's Supper. Use this time to think about and pray about, am I abiding in Christ? Pastor?